You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
You faked me out there, Chris. Was that a prank or I don't know? He. Before we started, he joked about how he was going to make a joke at my expense, and I think that was it. Like, we're going to invite Ryan up here, and now we're going to pray. Thanks, Chris. Also, if you were watching during the beginning of the service, I hope you've been able to join us for our whole service if you're watching online. For those of you who are in person, I can see that you have been here. Ron said something really cool about how he has his grandkids stick their fingers in his back pocket to lead them throughout the store and help them from getting lost, and how that's sticking our finger in Jesus' back pocket. And I loved that analogy, but all I could think was Ron trying to stick his finger in my back pocket. And then what he might do, like pulling my pants down or something, like pranking me. So I got the message, but I was a little concerned about his heart. And with that, I'll say good morning. It's really good to be here this morning. We have 9 a.m. kids services available, if you didn't know. So if you're at home and you're wondering, maybe I should only come to 11 because of kids services, but we do have kids ministry now at 9 a.m. There's kids back there right now. I even went and waved at a few of them. They're super cute and precious. And so make sure you're coming at 9 a.m. if you have kids. If your kids are like my son, who gets up every day at 7 a.m. without fail, he's one of those early risers. We would probably be bringing him to the 9 a.m. service. So if you have those kind of kids, bring them on in. But before I get started, I have to address the fact that it is Labor Day weekend. And in church circles or like in pastor circles, it's kind of jokingly known as National Youth Pastor Speaking Day. So last year I spoke on Labor Day weekend, and this year here I am. It's great. Ron, thank you for keeping the tradition alive. Thank you. That's very nice of you to do that. But I loved Pastor Mark's sermon last Sunday. I didn't get to sit in on it. I was busy doing stuff with our students and getting ready for our 11 a.m. student service, but I listened to it throughout the week, and just his message on the Great Commission is just such a great reminder to the call we have on all of our lives. I found it really encouraging. If you haven't heard it, you can, like, I know we've been pointing you to our website constantly, but you can go online and click on sermons, and it's up there. It's a great message. And so before we start our confidence series, which is our look in the book of Philippians, I wanted to kind of piggyback on Mark's sermon from last Sunday, where Mark kind of, he spoke on the very end of the book of Matthew, where Jesus is encouraging his disciples and saying, hey, like, go forth into all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and like, I'm with you always, even to the end of everything, to the end of the age. And then I thought, what a great correlation to speak on Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus calls his disciples for the first time. And so that's where we're going to be this morning. It's kind of like one of those movies where they show you the very end of the movie at the very beginning, and then the main character is like, let me tell you how we got there. So that's what we're doing this morning, just showing you how they got to where they were. So if you got your Bibles, we're going to open up to Matthew chapter 4. And I want to give a little context before we get into it. Before we get to where we're going to be in Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 18, Jesus has been baptized by John the Baptist. John started preparing the way and started baptizing. Jesus shows up, he gets baptized, and then he goes out in the wilderness, and the devil just, he challenges him, he confronts him, he tempts him for 40 days in the wilderness, and Jesus' identity is called into question, Jesus' authority is called into question, Jesus' power and everything is called into question, and Jesus, time and time again, just stays true to who he is and the path God had him set on. And I love that story of Jesus in the wilderness. And once he leaves the wilderness, he begins to preach and starts saying, like, prepare the way. Like, you guys, get ready. The kingdom of God is coming. Like, something good, something new is coming. And then immediately he goes walking along a lakeside to look for some people to help him. And so that's where we are this morning in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 22. I'm going to read it briefly here. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the lake of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Thanks, Matthew. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and they followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, for they were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them too. And immediately they left their boat and their father and they followed him. This verse is so great for so many reasons, but I want to focus on two this morning. I know whenever I like get to writing a sermon or get to speaking, I want to put like 8 points in my sermon, but I know that that's not logical, and I can't remember more than like two or three things, and I can't ask you guys to do that. But if you're taking notes, or if you have something to write down, write these things down. We love this with our students. It's something we encourage them to always take notes, is always write down what God's doing or write down what God is saying. Even if it's through someone from the stage, to be able to look back on those things and remember is so great. And so there's two things I have this morning that particularly jumped out at me when I was reading this a few weeks ago, and that would be, am I trusting God's path? And what are my nets? And these are the two questions that I actually asked myself when I was reading through this, is, am I trusting God's path? And what are my nets? And so that's our first thing we're gonna stop on this morning, is, am I trusting God's path? And this is a question that can really apply to all of us. Whether you're a young child, a student, if there's some students in here this morning who's still maybe even learning about the world or who they are in Christ and still learning about their identity, or a young adult who's just trying to like find their place in the world and discover what's next for them, a struggling parent who's really sleep deprived, like this guy. Our daughter, I love her very much, but she did not have the best night of sleep last night. So she did pretty good at first, but then after that, it was not so hot. So I'm a little sleep deprived, so if I say something that doesn't make sense this morning, I apologize. Just tell me afterwards and we'll address it. Or maybe you're a grandparent who has an empty nest, or someone who has come to that last season of your life and you're just trying to finish well. This is a question we should be all asking ourselves at every stage and every season of our life, is, am I trusting God's path? I'm in a habit now, and I apologize, but I kind of don't also, of bringing up my son a lot in my sermons now, and I know it's kind of just the type A, typical pastor thing to do, but I love talking about my son, so I'm going to do it. And he is in a stage right now where he has a really hard time, not necessarily maybe trusting me, but having a million questions along the way. And I don't think that sometimes we have a problem trusting God. I think that there are some times that we just have a problem not knowing all the answers. And right now, for example, what happens when we take any kind of a drive that involves my son being with me, or with my wife and I and our daughter, he immediately we'll get in the car and we'll start getting him into his car seat, and he always has questions of walking out the door, which car are we taking? Because we have two cars. And once we get him in, we're starting to drive, it's, why didn't we go this way? And then while we're going this way, well, where are we going this way? And as we're driving back, and then obviously the question comes up every trip, why are we stopping at Starbucks again? Why do we always have to stop at Starbucks before we go where we're going? And I just have to look at him and say, because your mother and I love you very much, and we need our coffee. And we want to love you as best as we can, and we feel like we can do that while we're caffeinated. And then when we leave Starbucks, it's, oh, well, now why are we going this way? And then if we happen to turn away that goes towards my father's house, are we going to Papa's house? All the questions along the way, and I've started to respond over and over again of, Liam, like, I am your father, just trust that I know where I'm going. Or, hey, Dad, I thought we were going here, why did you turn this way? Because he kind of knows his way around our city now, and he'll even ask me, why did you go this way instead of that way, when you've gone that way before? And I have to look at him and say, well, not look at him because I'm driving, but kind of motion to him, I'm your father, you trust that I know where I'm going. Sometimes God, it can be a bit more cryptic, church. And we need to just put in the work to trust them a little bit. For example, now that I've told an example of my son, I can tell an example of my father as well. I love the man very much, but he is not very good at explaining things. He's an under-explainer. So for instance, literally yesterday, I was at his house helping him do some work because he wants to sell his house, and he's pouring concrete and other stuff. And he literally says to me, Ryan, go in the garage and get the level off of that shelf. And so I walk in the garage, and he's got a three-car garage, and he's, if you know my father, he has many, many, many tools. He's an engineer and lots of other fun things, and his garage is nothing but shelves. And so me being trying to be as logical as I can, because I'm just like, I'm just going to go where the tools are and look for those shelves. And a minute goes by, and he's like, where's the level? And I was like, okay, Dad, I'm looking on a shelf, but I don't know which shelf to look on. And his response, I kid you not, is, the shelf, Ryan. And again, I love my father. He's getting a lot better at this. It took like all three of his sons sitting him down one time and be like, you have to explain. A little bit more than that thing over there on the thing. And so he walks around the corner, and no joke, he grabs a level which was like by his lawnmower. And I was like, do you see how I had no like way of knowing how to find that level, Dad? And he looks at me and goes, whatever, and like walks on the corner, and then we start leveling out the ground that we're going to pour concrete on. But honestly, church, sometimes God's only going to say, hand me that off the shelf. And we get to walk into a garage full of stuff, and we got to find what God wants. Sometimes he's going to say to us, hey, I want you to walk into the garage. I want you to turn right immediately. The first shelf on your right next to the lawnmower, right next to the grass seed too, on that shelf hanging there is the level. Go and get it for me. And we're going to be like, yes, I'm going to get it. And sometimes God is going to say, hey, go in the garage and grab the level off the shelf. And sometimes you just have to trust God's path and what he's saying and take what he gives us, because there are going to be seasons where we feel like God's not saying a whole lot, but he has spoken enough that he feels like we need to move forward. It may be hard to face reality when we are not trusting God's path, because that means we must make a course correction. And to make a course correction, we have to be silent and we must be quiet enough to listen. This is where my son struggles a little bit, where he wants to say, and I'm trying to give him the direction, but he's too busy talking to let me actually give it to him. A good place to start is to be submissive and just let God lead us and let him speak. Obviously, that's easier said than done. There's a reason the original sin is pride. Who wants to submit when we think we can do it all our own? And in the quiet moments, while we have finally stopped asking God questions, and we have looked him in the eyes, that we finally come to understand his path. If you look at how the disciples in the story responded, we see the blueprint, church, for trusting God's path. Jesus said, come and follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. And see, he didn't say, I want you to drop your nets, then follow me. We're going to Capernaum. There, we're going to pick up some more friends, and then we're going to go here, and then we're going to go to Jerusalem, and we're going to do this, and eventually I'm going to die. And then I'm going to come back, and then I'm going to leave again, and then you guys are going to do everything. He just said, drop your nets and come follow me. How did the disciples respond? It certainly wasn't asking the questions, where are we going, Jesus? Why are we stopping at Starbucks before? You know, it wasn't the questions. It just says they dropped their nets and they followed him. They dropped everything they knew, their entire childhood, where they were taught to be fishermen. They dropped their entire futures. They dropped their worries. They dropped their own plans. They dropped everything standing in their way of following Jesus that day. And they followed him. I want to read you guys a verse out of John chapter 8. And I know I've said this up here before. John is my favorite gospel. And so usually if I'm pulling something from a gospel, it's probably from John. But it says this, it says, when Jesus spoke against the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And church, listen to that. That is who we are following. Someone who says, I am the light of the world. Whoever walks with me will never walk in darkness. That's who we're following. That's who's setting our path. If we just drop what we have and choose to follow him. Church, the disciples trusted God's path. They were willing to drop everything, even though they could not see the destination or the path they were taking, and they dropped everything still. Are we trusting God's path, really? Or are we choosing to ask questions along the way? I know I ask questions along the way pretty much every day, and I think I'm getting a little bit better at it every day too, but I know I'm not a finished product yet. But are we choosing to say, I trust you, God, I'm not going to ask the questions, I'm just going to follow you? Or do we have a million questions about what he's doing? The second thing this morning, the second question I have is what are my nets? Because I'm saying this for me as well, but what are our nets, church? What are your nets? What are my nets? And this question may have been phrased a different way to you before. Or what are the giants in your life that are standing in front of you that you need to like sling the rock at, just like David did, you know? What's the storm in your life that you need Jesus to calm? What are the nets that you need Jesus to, you need to drop? What are the things that are keeping you from finding and following Jesus? What are we individually holding on to that is in the way of walking with Jesus? And the disciples literally, like literally physically had actual nets to drop. So like they got off, I think, kind of easy because they didn't know really what they needed to drop. They just, like Jesus said, drop your nets and follow me. And they're like, okay, these are the things you want me to drop. I'm going to follow you. But with, for now, in this day and age for us, it might be anything. And what your net is going to be completely different than what my net is. And they dropped their nets and they were able to go to the things and go to the places and follow Jesus where he was going. Recently for me, I actually, literally just last week, I'm very competitive and I'm a very competitive person and I need an outlet most times for my competitiveness. And I used to play, or not used to, but I just recently stopped playing like games on my phone. I actually sat down and my wife, you know, for about a year or two was even like, why are you playing a game? And like at night after Liam goes to bed, like, why are you just playing a game on your phone? And my response is always like, oh, like I just like, I'm so competitive. I need something, or it's just fun. It's like an outlet for me. And recently I just looked at that and thought, these things on my phone are keeping me from spending time with my wife. They're keeping me from picking up my Bible at night or reading a book at night. And I just deleted them. And I showed my wife my phone. I was like, look, these are the only games I have left because they pretty much are Liam's. And I remember like dropping those and feeling the weight just spiritually or emotionally fall off me when I didn't have those on my phone, wondering if I was going to do these daily things I had to do every day or wondering what my ranking was anymore on these games that no one cares about. There are things in our lives that we're just holding on to and just maybe currently not ready to drop so we can continue to follow Jesus down the path he's leading us. When Jesus says, come and follow me, are we faithful to drop the thing that is holding us back from following him? Or are we dropping something? Are we just not dropping it? Or maybe are we just dropping the same thing we've always dropped that we've continued to pick up time and time again? Like holding on to what is comfortable for us. I know it's really funny sometimes in youth ministry or like over the years as being a youth pastor, as I've seen the same kid raise his hand for salvation 6 times. And I want to be like, Lord bless you. Like, you want salvation so bad, you're willing to raise it every time I ask. Like, I believe it, and I think that's great. But it's that mindset of, I need this every time, or I need to drop the same thing every time, because this is the same thing I'm dealing with. Church, drop it and leave it. When Jesus approached these men, they were clearly ready for something more. They were clearly ready for something to follow. I was talking with actually Annette and then by extension also Ron this week when I was kind of talking about the sermon. They told me about this and I thought, this is so cool. I've never even thought of it this way. So all the credit for this goes to Ron and Annette. But the sons of Zebedee, James and John, were in the boat with their father. And Ron called this the Zebedee effect, but I was like, that's kind of a cool trendy name. And they were in the boat with their father getting their nets ready when Jesus called them. And it says they left their boat, the boat, and they left their father to follow Jesus. And what's so great is, I bet you, I doesn't say it, but what my gut says is that Zebedee gave them a nod and let them go. Because every Jewish family was patiently, and maybe not so patiently, but just waiting and waiting on the Messiah to come. They had traditions that would celebrate and be like just be excitedly expecting his coming, like leaving a chair empty at the dinner table for the Messiah just in case he came that day. And Zebedee looked at them when Jesus said, come and follow me, and he must have known this is the guy you need to go. And so who in our lives is like a Zebedee? Who in our lives will look at us, give us a nod so we can continue to follow Jesus or follow him for the first time? Who's that person in your life that's encouraging you and giving you a nod and saying, yeah, I affirm that, drop it and go. Drop that thing so you can follow Jesus. Do we have people in our lives that we can rely on and encourage our net dropping? If you don't have someone, find someone. This could be a mentor, this could be a pastor, this could be someone that you just go to saying, I'm feeling the Lord telling me that I need to let go of this, and they're going to say, let's do it, like, let's help you get there, let's do it together. I'm going to give you a nod and say, "That I'm affirm that." If you don't have someone in your life to affirm when God's calling you to drop something so you can follow him more, find someone. You're doing it by yourself when you don't have to. And as Mark, like I said, spoke last Sunday about the call of discipleship Jesus made at the end of his ministry, I felt so led to talk about the call of discipleship that Jesus made at the very beginning of his ministry. And I love this passage so much because it has a lot of deep history for me. And this passage, just they dropped their nets and followed him, has been the theme passage and verse for Canby Foursquare's internship for, I think, since the very beginning. The internship here at the church has been going for, I don't know how many years, it's at least 15 or 16 years, something like that, where we've had interns here. And I was blessed to have the opportunity, because I grew up at this church, to be called to be an intern for a couple years. And this was the verse when Pastor Ryan Brown was leading the church, or leading the internship and the youth ministry then, that he sat me down and he said, hey, this is what this internship represents, Ryan. You're gonna take 2 years, you're gonna take a season, you're gonna drop everything, you're gonna drop your nets and follow Jesus. And you're gonna have to say yes to him continually to what he's asking you to drop. And this verse about dropping our net so we can follow him is so powerful. Almost 10 years ago now is when I started the internship. And I had to drop a few of my own nets, things like my plans for college, my career, my future, that I had to say no. I wasn't saying no to those things. I was just instead choosing to say yes to what God had for me. Because I had begun to make my own plans, but God's plans and his path and what he was calling me to drop, I knew would be better than what I had for myself. And church, this week we can celebrate, actually we really can, because we have 3 new interns starting here at Canby Foursquare Church. They are a living example today of 3 young adults who have decided to drop their nets and follow Jesus, and for a season commit themselves to building a firm foundation now, so that when they go on and they start the rest of their lives, they're much better, they're much more comfortable dropping their nets and saying yes to God when he asks them to. And so would you do me a favor? Would you help me welcome up? We're going to recognize them this morning. We have, we're going to welcome up to the stage Annika, Clista, and Alexis, so you guys can know who they are and we can recognize them. Come on up, ladies. What's up? These are our 3 interns for this season. Our internship looks a little bit different now, but I think it's for the better. They're going to be spending 9 months, so they're going to do a 9-month internship, and if they want to do a second year, they're welcome to, but they don't have to. And they're going to take 9 months. They're going to be serving all across the church. They're going to be moving probably millions of chairs. They're going to be praying over lots of people. They're going to be leading worship. They're going to be speaking. They're going to be holding babies. They're going to be speaking to students and leading students in small groups. They're going to be doing everything across the church for these next 9 months to dive in, to drop everything for a season and say, God, I'm going to choose to follow you first, and I'm going to choose to just drop things and say yes to you. And we know God has his hands on them, and at the end of these 9 months, we can stand them back up here again, and we can celebrate what God has done in them. So would you join with me? Actually, we're going to pray for them really quickly, and would you just extend your hands as we pray for them in this next season? Lord, we pray nothing but your will to be done right now in Jesus' name for these 3 amazing young ladies, Lord, who have chosen to commit themselves to you, who have chosen you first in this season and to put you above all else. And Lord, we pray that as they drop their nets, Lord, as they are learning how to drop these things that are standing in the way of them following you, Lord, that this season really would be about being disciples, Lord, that they've dropped everything, that they're following you wholeheartedly. They don't need to know where you're taking them. They don't need to know the destination or how they're getting there, how much Starbucks they're going to get on the way. Lord, we know that they know, Lord, that they have committed themselves to you and that you have a distinct, powerful call in their lives. Lord, we pray that this next 9 months in this year, Lord, would be powerful, would be eye-opening, Lord, and that this church would come alongside them and come behind them and be for them, pray for them, and encourage them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you guys let them know how you appreciate them? Come on. All right. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. If you see them, let them know how much you appreciate them. Be praying for them also. Something that's really cool or something that's really great is to write them a letter maybe, or just encourage them in some way like that. If you're really good at writing, write them a note that just says, I'm praying for you. Or if you're really good at, with your words, not writing things down, speaking out of your mouth, just say it to them. and say, Lord, we appreciate you. We're so excited for you. We're praying for you. Please continue to pray for them. They're going to be going through a large growing process over this next year, and we're excited to see what God's going to do in them and through them. And so by not looking back, church, we are trusting God's path. As I wrap up this morning, you're not asking for anything back, and you're not returning it. You're choosing the new path. Lot's wife struggled with this, and we all kind of know, if you know the story, you know what happened to Lot's wife. She dropped everything to leave the city that was going to be doomed and destroyed, and instead of dropping it and not looking back and not trying to run to it, she looked back, and God turned her into a pillar of salt, which is very tragic, and I'm not saying that's going to happen to you if you don't leave your nets here, but God's done it before, so I'm not saying he's going to do that, but Lord, I'm not testing you. And in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 through 19, it says this. I want to end here with this. It says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do not perceive it. I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And for the church, for those of us this morning who feel stuck in the wilderness with no way out, or withering away in a wasteland with no hope of having your thirst quenched, God is doing a new thing. He has been doing a new thing for a long time, and he'll be doing a new thing tomorrow. And this morning, he is making a way for us to follow his path and to drop what we have holding us back. He's doing a new thing today. He's going to be doing a new thing tomorrow. If you don't take advantage of today, don't worry. God's there, still there tomorrow. And as these interns have demonstrated the dropping of their nets this morning, I ask us, what do we need to drop so we can follow Jesus more? And again, I'm big on writing things down to hold ourselves accountable, like I've said with our students. So my challenge is this morning is to drop one thing. If it's today, I love that. If it's tomorrow, I love it too. But this today or this week, drop one thing that's keeping you from following Jesus more, better, or maybe even for the first time. If it's your doubts and your fears, drop them and see what God can do. Give God a chance. Walk past it. Do not look back, and don't return to it. What God has done in front of us is far, or what God has in front of us is far better and more fruitful than what we have behind us. That verse says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past, because I'm doing a new thing and I'm bringing life where you thought there couldn't be life, and I'm bringing direction and guidance on your path where you thought you were lost. God is doing a new thing, church. We just got to get out of his way and let him do it and follow behind him. We just got to stick our finger in his back pocket and go where he goes. Amen? Would you pray with me this morning? God, thank you for what you're doing. God, I'm grateful that every day you have something new for us, Lord, that today you are doing a new thing. And Lord, for those who have something very evident and they know what it is in their lives that they need to drop so they can follow you more and they can follow you better and trust your path, Lord, I pray that they would drop those things at your feet this morning, step over them, walk out of the water and follow you, Lord. I pray that they would know confidently that if they drop it and they follow you, Lord, you have their best in mind, Lord, that you came to give us life and life to the full. And Lord, for those of us who may not know or may not have an idea currently of what is holding us back from you, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would show us those things. God, I pray that you would affirm in us what we need to drop or what we need to get past, what giant we need to slay, what storm we need to weather right now to just continue to trust you or to trust you for the first time, God. I pray, Jesus, that you would speak clearly to us and, Lord, that you would continue to lead this church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.